Welcome to This Bible Podcast. I know, the name's super creative. I'm your host, Sam Lewis, and I'm glad you're here. We'll be diving into the daily lectionary, and I hope you'll find something that is maybe a little fun, maybe meaningful, and hopefully brings you closer to God. Let's dive in.
My name is Michael Precht. I'm senior pastor at Dauphin Way United Methodist Church in Mobile, Alabama. My pronouns are he and him. And today's scripture reading is from Jeremiah 23, verses 1 through 8. That is right. Yeah, we're going to 8.
That's the one.
Perfect. Great. I read the right verses. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doing, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all of the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved. And Israel will live in safety, and this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness. Surely the days are coming, says the Lord, when it shall no longer be said, as the Lord lives, who brought the people of Israel up out of the land of Egypt. But instead it will be said, as the Lord lives, who brought out and led the offspring of the house of Israel out of the land of the north and out of all the lands where he had driven them. Then they shall live in their own land.
So what stands out to you? What are your kind of first impressions reading the text?
Well, the thing that stands out to me most is definitely not the most important. So, you know, sometimes the most interesting thing, the most obvious things are not the most interesting sometimes. It's just the way the world works. Hopefully you can hear the car that's bumping down the street just outside my window.
I cannot, unfortunately.
Oh, that's a shame, because it's really adding a lot to the background track. But the bit in reading this passage that grabbed me first is just the most curious, the most unexpected piece is the last verse, verse 8, in which the Lord promises that the days will become when he will no longer be known. The Lord will no longer be named as the Lord who brought the people of Israel from Egypt. And instead, God's name or God's title or the way people talk about God will become the Lord, as the Lord lives, who brought out and led the offspring of the house of Israel from the land of the north. And so this idea that up to this point in Israel's history, God has been known as the God of the Exodus. And now God is going to be known as the God who rescued them from exile. And I just marvel at that for any number of reasons. One, because the Exodus, of course, is such a huge part of not just the story, but identity for Israel. Like, we are the people of the Exodus. That's how, you know, the prophets talk. That's how the Psalms talk, is the people of Israel are the people who were brought out of Egypt.
And over and over again, right? It's remember.
Yeah, exactly. Remember. Don't ever forget this. Yeah, that's exactly what was going through my head, was all those times they are told to remember. And there's an implication here that it might even be forgotten. Not forgotten in a, like, we don't care anymore, it doesn't matter, but that God is going to do something so great in bringing them out of exile that now this is going to be the story. This is what they're going to be known for. And so I read that and I just, marvel all over all kinds of just questions of, like, what is it like to hear that? And if you believe you're about to go into exile, if you you know, accept this word from Jeremiah. It's nice to have a word of hope. But even in the hope, there's got to be a little bit of sadness there of like, what if the knowledge of the Exodus story gets lost? What if it doesn't matter to people? And, you know, of course we know it isn't lost. We still tell it today. But I don't know if you've ever read the novel Piranesi by Susanna Clarke, who did the Dr. Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell. Anyway, it's this wonderful little novel about a man who falls into an alternate world or a dimension where all the knowledge that has been lost from our world falls. Like when someone is forgotten, their statue ends up in this other world. And like the knowledge that was with them ends up there. And it's this land of forgotten knowledge, forgotten wisdom. And there's this kind of melancholy to it. We often tell a story about kind of an uninterrupted progress that goes from, in which knowledge only ever builds on itself. You know, we never lose anything. We just acquire more and more and more wisdom, insight, whatever. And, you know, we are always, it turns out, in the process of advancing and also recovering right. things that have been lost. And there's that melancholy. Yeah. And that was just the wave that hit me when I hear about God's name is going to change. Israel's identification with God is going to change. It's no longer going to be the Lord who brought us out of Egypt. It's the Lord who brought us out of exile. It's a great thing, a wonderful thing, a victory of God, and yet also a real loss of some part of their history. And I just wonder what it would feel like to be presented with that prospect. You're going to be saved, but your identity is going to be different. And some part of it that you've cherished won't feel as important anymore.
So Israel has to grapple with this kind of, you're going to be saved, but there will be a change in identity. I think about that as kind of what's presented to us all the time, right? Like if we talk about the way Brueggemann talks about Psalms, right? The orientation, the disorientation, the reorientation. When you get into reorientation, it's not orientation all over again, right? Mm-hmm. It is a new way of being. And we kind of live these patterns constantly in our lives, in our personal lives, our personal faith lives, and in our kind of ecclesial lives and societal lives.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the number of places you can see this dynamic play out are just endless, and yet we still resist it. As the old marriage advice often given in, you know, marriage preparation is like, you are not marrying today the person you will be married to in 10 years. You are both going to be different people. And part of what that vow is a statement that what is going to be constant is not who I am. I will learn, I will grow, I will be, I will suffer and be changed by that. I will prosper and be changed by that. I'm a different person, thanks be to God, today than I was, you know, many, many years ago. And the constant over that is oftentimes the relationship, not the person. You know, it's my friendships, my marriage relationship, my relationship with my family, that has been more constant even than who I am. Even if everything about kind of worldview or circumstance changes, if nothing else changes, then our bodies are going to change. You know, we will be somehow different. And we treat that as a moment of fear, but we can find the constancy and the continuation in the relationship and in those who, like God, promised to be with us. And I think you can see that in that statement is the first part of God's name is not going to change. As the Lord lives, or God's title, not name. We won't say, forgive me for name, title. God's title will change from the Lord lives who brought the people of Israel out of Egypt and is now the Lord who brought the people out of the north. The first part is still there. The God who brought the people of Israel, the relationship is still there. And that's the constant. That's the through line through the identity that changes. So,
yeah, I love this.
How about you? I know it's your podcast, but I'll ask. What jumped out at you as you were reading this?
Truly, it was the parallel. I have the notes to prove it. This parallel between no one will say, instead they will say. Yeah. I think anytime we see that kind of parallel structure, it tells me like, okay, pay attention. There's something here.
Yeah, absolutely.
To glean. I mean, I also I think about the very beginning where it talks about like, watch out, you shepherds who destroy and scatter my sheep. You're the ones who have scattered my flock. You haven't attended to their needs. So I will take revenge on you for the terrible things you have done to them. And I, you know, on the one hand, it makes us grapple with like, is God going to take revenge? That feels a little severe. But it also points to me, I think about, you know, when have I been the shepherd that destroys and scatters?
Sure.
When have I been destroyed and scattered? Right. And remembering that, whether it is in this life or the next, you know, depending on kind of how you approach eschatology, like there are consequences for my actions, the harms that I have done. They will have to be repaired somehow, some way.
Yeah.
And so there are harms that I've done that that matter to God. And there are harms that have been done to me that matter to God. And so I really hear in this the word that God is paying attention. And when I am suffering, God is with me in that. God is not, you know, ambivalent.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I hear that in the ways that I cause suffering to others, which like it turns out I wake up and do that every day.
It's a deep warning that we gotta be real careful if we are ever using the gift, the calling, the office, the role, the trust that's been handed to us for anything other than the nurturing of those in our care. I certainly, you know, those first four verses, which kind of carry the theme of the two chapters before. And that's why I think that's the major theme, the bit about God's story changing or title changing. That's why I said, interesting, maybe not the most important. I definitely take the main through line is, be aware, be wary. And the more, more power you have, the more elevated your position, the more authority you have in someone's life, the more aware you need to be, that it is never given for your good. It is always given for theirs.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think about like, we talk a lot in my house about intent versus impact. Right. There's a lot of ways. Well, like I had good intentions. Like that's great. But what you did was harmful.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so grappling with this kind of intent versus impact and making sure that I am holding myself accountable to and having other people in my world who will hold me accountable.
Yeah.
To the impact of the ways I live in this world. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, it is East. Oh, go ahead, please.
I was just going to say one other, and forgive me if I'm taking us off topic. We can come back to that. But just the one other kind of theme, the responsibility of the shepherd seems to me a major theme. A secondary one or a related and super interesting one is what's our relationship with God going to be like on the other side of this? And when God's title is fundamentally different. But then the third thing that I really found myself paying attention to is I'm always fascinated by God's endless creativity in keeping God's covenant, but not in a way that means we can ever take it for granted. We can always trust that God will keep the covenant, but we can't ever treat that as an entitlement. specifically the covenant that God makes of there will always be a descendant of David on the throne. You know, God's made that covenant. He's not going to break that covenant with David and with David's house, that he is going to put a son of David, a child of David, into the role, raise up this righteous branch, a king who will reign wisely. But not in the sort of way that means David's descendants can just be like, whatever, we can do what we want. God, we've got the contract with God and God can't violate it. God's not going to kick us out. God's way of raising up Jesus Christ as the answer to the covenant, but also as a subversion of it, as a way of getting around the unfaithfulness of the kings who followed David. Similarly to a family relationship, a household relationship, you want that trust always to be there. That's a part of the covenant. That's a part of the promise, or the faithfulness of family is like, my love for you is always there. Support. I have your back. But we don't ever want that to become a license that says, and it can't mean, and so I don't care what you do, right? It doesn't mean I'm always there for you. And so whatever, no, it means I'm always there for you. The love is not going anywhere. And because of that, how can we live into that in a way that does not take that for granted, misuse one another, turn that promise to our own ends, but how can we turn that covenant into an excuse for self-giving rather than self-taking?
Yeah. So, yeah. And, you know, it is Easter. And so, you know, as we think about the resurrection, that's where 5 and 6 stand to me. I mean, and this kind of reorientation, but, you know, the time's coming. I'll raise up a righteous descendant. He will rule as a wise king, do what is just and right in the land. And during his lifetime, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. And his name will be the Lord is our righteousness. I think about the ways that kind of says, like, I see this, like, you have misused and abused your power.
Mm.
But one is coming who will not misuse or abuse his power. And like, he will shepherd the people, right? So like, in all the ways that I have failed to shepherd God's people, in all of the ways I have fallen short, in all of the ways other people have fallen short for me, there is the one who has triumphed over hell and death, right? And so it's this kind of promise beyond all the mortal failings of humanity.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love all these reminders that God gets the last word, that including in our failures and in our being failed, God sees it all. God acknowledges it. God does not silence it or ignore it, but neither does God let it get the last word.
Yeah.
God always has in the end, the and still, and this, and even so, and that's hope, man. That's
And thanks be to God for that, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. How could any of us do most of the things that we do, particularly friendship, family, and church? How could we assume any role in there if we didn't have that hope, you know, that says, okay, in the end, God will be the one to make something out of this.
Well,
it's everything.
It is everything. Yeah. Thank you for your time and for this gift of kind of talking through scripture together. And
what could be better?
What could be better? Will you pray for us?
Be honored. Lord, we acknowledge that you have given each and every one of us opportunities to be shepherds. And sometimes we have used those well. And sometimes we have used those opportunities poorly through our own ignorance. We just didn't know better. Sometimes we have used those opportunities poorly because we couldn't see beyond ourselves. We knew better, and yet we still acted in ways that brought hurt. Lord, we use that recognition now to acknowledge that we've been treated the same way. We give you thanks for those shepherds who have been faithful to the covenant. We thank you for those who tried with all their might and yet still fell short. And we also acknowledge those who have not lived up to that role in our lives. And in all that, we give you thanks that it is your covenant that gets the last word, and that the day is coming when all will be revealed, all will be made known. We will be able to look at our own failures and shortcomings without fear, and we will be able to look at those of others and without sorrow, but we will be able to look instead, say, this too was where God stepped in, intervened, and acted. And we will discover an entirely new relationship with you that still draws from the old one. And we will be able to say, you are not simply the God of our past, but you are the God who has brought us into this present moment. May we wake every day in that gratitude. May we wake in the expectation that each and every day you are doing new things all over again, because your story is not finished and that you will have the last word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.